Now, we're going to talk about here this morning. We're going to go back over because we're talking about a covenant of blessing. And the Lord spoke to me. I was going to go, if you look at the verses I put in there, I don't know if we'll get to that, because the Lord spoke to me about something that I had said last week, and he said, you need to go over and talk about that. And I didn't plan on saying it, but, you know, I made mention about Israel and about, you know, Israel, you know, the idea that Israel's under a curse. We need to understand. We have a wrong teaching has hurt the church. And the Lord talked me about this. What I'm going to talk to you about today is not criticism from the standpoint. It's because your beliefs have affected how far God can go with you. And we have beliefs in the church world that is hurting the church desperately, and it's about Israel. And the church cannot rise up to what they are because they believe there's a group in the earth that's more special than them. And we need to get this stuff cleared up by the Bible, what the Bible says. Not the beliefs of men. The reason we're talking about this, and you know, when I said that last week, I thought, well, I wasn't going that way, and I started talking about that, and I thought, maybe I shouldn't have said anything about that. But God wants it brought up because, number one, you're under Abraham's blessing. Israel is not generally under Abraham's blessing. They're not under it. They're not under the part that says, you know, if somebody blesses you, they'll be blessed, and somebody cursed, they'll be cursed. That's tied to the new covenant, not in what Abraham's covenant. That's the people of faith, not the people who are not in the new covenant. And we want to talk about it. I'm going to read scripture for you. I'm going to go to Romans, the second chapter, what Paul wrote. We're going to look at scripture, what Paul wrote. Paul wrote to the Jews living in Rome. There was a church. The church started in Rome. In fact, Paul lived in Rome for a time. He was there in prison, but he was also there for the time, living in a home there, holding teachings and that stuff. And Jews got saved, and he's teaching them out there. And he's teaching Jews. And so we need to hook up and say, what did he tell them? What did he tell these Jews? So in Romans, the second chapter, so we look in the beginning of his letter to them and writing to them concerning Romans. In the second chapter, in verse 28, we're going to read here, it says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Now Paul said a Jew, because he's born physically a Jew, he said, what did he say about it? He's not a Jew. Paul said he's not. See, Jews have always been by faith. It's always been. Those who follow Abraham are people of faith. Well, I'm going to tell you what. See, we know that Jews end up, Jews without Christ go to hell. They do. And see, we need to talk about this because this affects us, our covenant, the covenant we're in. Now listen, he goes on. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. See, we need to sit down and say, who's a Jew? Well, let me answer it. If we have this, and Abraham's blessing follows faith, then Abraham's blessing cannot be on Israel itself, on that one. It can't be. It's impossible. Because if it is, then we can't trust God concerning covenant. Because they can be out of the covenant, and God's gonna be, you know, we talk about, I always throw this stuff out. If America don't bless Israel, we're gonna go under. No, we won't. We go under because of God, because of our walk with God, not with our walk with Israel. Israel's not God. Israel is being blessed, you know why? Because of the Christians. In spite of Israel, we've kept Israel alive. The Christians have. We've turned this thing around. See, we've lowered what we are and raised them up, and we glorify them. Oh boy, there's a special group in the earth. There is a special group in the earth. It's called Christians. It's the people of the covenant. That's you. See, don't minimize. We're not trying to be big-headed over anybody else, but I'm sorry. We're the people with the blessing. That's what it is. I can't change that. I don't want to change it either. Amen. You're the blessed of the Lord. Amen. You're the circumcised of heart. You're in this covenant. And there is no other covenant that has ever been made, even by God, that compares to this covenant. And you are in this covenant. Now see, I'm not against Israel at all. You know, I mean, I just tell you this. I think it's wise to hook up with Israel in the Middle East because just from the standpoint, it gives us an open door to deal with some stuff over there. But we want to bless them, but we need to understand they're in a place they need the gospel more than they need our rockets. And we need to understand this stuff is we've gotten over into things as number one, I want Jews to be saved. Now we're going to read more. Now Apostle Paul, he wrote more. So let's go, you know, we're looking at Apostle Paul then wrote them in Romans the 9th chapter. Romans the 9th chapter. We want to look there. We want to see this because I want you to understand it. Number one, you know, because we see, I'm just going to tell you this. A lot of anti-Semitism comes because of the curse on Israel. And see, we're making it, we're trying to stop something, you know. We need to know as a church, you know, one of the things we do is our covenant's in. The devil don't like us. I'm going to tell you what. The devil has used Israel to keep the church sometimes from rising to where they're supposed to be the blessing to Israel that it can be. The devil wants to minimize the church. Israel has no authority over the devil. The church does. The church are the ones with authority over Satan. Romans 9 chapter and verse 6 says this, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect. For they, this is Paul talking about Israel, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Nor are all they all children because they are seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. They're not. See, they're special. They're God's children. How often do you see Christians say, oh, the Jews are God's children. Jews are... Well, they ought to read the Bible sometime. Somebody along the line ought to have read the Bible sometime. Because Paul is... Did Paul not like the Jews? Paul was a Jew himself. He loved the Jews. He went as far as saying, boy, he wish he would be, you know, be judged rather so they'd be saved. He loved them so much, he looked over himself and said, I'd go to hell for their sake if we're going to get reached. But you know what? He didn't try to make them into something that they weren't. And minimize the church. The Lord dealt with me about this, the minimizing of the church, of who we are. You're under a covenant, a powerful covenant with God. Your God has you in this earth to be a blessing. No group of people in this earth can be a blessing like the church. No group. None. So, he goes on here. He says, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Huh. Mama. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. You see, you need to understand this. Anybody, Israel's not a special group from the standpoint. If any Jew does not receive Jesus Christ, he's damned for eternity. Just like anybody else. It's really different. They don't have something special. You know what's special? Jesus Christ. That's what's special. You and I got saved because of special Jesus. Amen. And we received the special Jesus, and he made you into something that is the most marvelous, wonderful thing. Amen. You know, think about this. Paul wrote again about this. We're not going to go to that one, but he talked about, he said, we who were the wild olive branch were engrafted into the vine. He said they were cut off. See, they ain't hooked to life. We keep treating them like they're hooked to life. You're going to have a hard time to believe God to reach a nation when you don't even have a clue who and what they are. when you keep treating them like they're really close to God. Do you know what happens during the tribulation? This is what Jesus said. Jesus said during the tribulation, he's talking to Jews. He said, if things didn't get, this Antichrist, if things just keep going the way they are, there'll be no flesh left. Everybody's going to die. He said, for the elect's sake, he said, I'm coming back. For the ones who respond to Christ during that time, he said, I'm going to come back and put a stop to it. When Jesus shows up, a lot of Israel is going to be in huge problems. Loads of them are going to be dead. And Jesus shows up to bring some salvation in. Now the church, what are we? See, we don't identify ourselves what we are. See, the church is going to end up being taken. Why? Because there is no other group in the earth like a church. There is no other. There's nobody else shines a light on anything in the church. Nobody. The church goes. Because the church are the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth. And the church preaches the Jew is. Now let me just say this to you. The Lord talked to me about it. About these things. Because, you know, we have the terminology and I used it and stuff like that. I don't anymore. But Israel's our timepiece. Israel's not a timepiece of the church. The church is a timepiece for the world. Just because the Bible says, I know that it isn't the timepiece, because if it was, then the people who thought it was a timepiece would have read it right and we'd have been gone a long time ago. Because that's what they preach. Israel's a timepiece. We're going to be gone. We're back in the 80s. Why? You know, I have three different watches. Now I got this watch. It has regular watch face. The things move on. I have a digital one. I have one. It's a Staur watch is made. It's actually a self-winding watch. It's not electric. It's self-winding. It has like 18 jewels. It has in it. The reason they put jewels, because those things ran. They're jewels because of the way a jewel is. They're almost like a natural lubricant because of they're a little softer and stuff. They put them in watches and that stuff because it made things run well. And this thing's a self-winding, but it goes two different ways. The hours go one way on a round circle thing and the minutes go another way on it. And that's how you read the time. It was made back in 1930 and I got that replica of one of them was made. And it's a neat watch. I like it. But anyhow, I can read this watch and I can read my digital watch and I can always tell the time. Well, we know the church don't know how to read these things calling Israel the timepiece because they told us all wrong about the end times. Why? Listen, you got the Holy Ghost in you.
Amen.
You got the mind of the universe in you.
Amen.
Why would you have to have somebody who's under the curse? They're your clock. See, God don't agree with this stuff. There's no why? Because see, men came along, you know, I don't blame them. We were stupid and listened to it. I had the Holy Ghost. Why didn't I pay attention? Why do I have to go along years and finally listen to what the Lord's trying to tell me? Why have I gone there? You know, I sit down, look at me, and say, that was my stupid. I knew how to read. I knew how to listen to the Holy Ghost, but I didn't. You know, just because somebody told it. Somebody said it. Because they always talk about, oh boy, I'll tell you what, we're in trouble for our nation if we don't bless Israel. We got to go bless Israel. See, the blessing don't come from God, it comes from Israel. Our nation is being judged because of our walk with God. Ain't got a thing in the world to do with Israel. It's our walk with God. That's how God judges. God don't judge, you know, this. People get all this stuff out of here to get into all their thinking. They take Old Testament what God said. I'm sorry, that covenant ended. It's called old. And see, people need to live in the light of those things. Well, you know, two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But we need to understand this as a church. That the church is anointed by God. We need to understand that it's the only way. And anybody who is blessed, it's because they have received Jesus Christ. And they're born. And they're in this covenant. They have had circumcision of the heart. Just like in Israel, we need to understand this. Abraham, the Bible tells us, we'll go over and as we study Abraham, we'll talk about this. And we are, this is about Abraham. I'm in Abraham's covenant. This is about Abraham's covenant. This is covenant of blessing. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And whoever curses you, I'll curse. Whoever blesses you will be blessed. That's my covenant today. That's mine. That's the blessing of Abraham. God was given that. That's mine. That ain't to Israel unless they come under the law. That don't belong to them. This is under faith. They got circumcision. Circumcision came because of faith. Faith don't bring circumcision. Because of faith, they were circumcised. Abraham was circumcised, the Bible says. It was a sign of his faith. Circumcision in itself ain't faith. I got born again and I became circumcised of the heart. My faith comes first. See, they can't be blessed because they have to come to faith in Christ. And then they can get redeemed from the curse. Other than that, they cannot. If there's a special group in the earth that the curse isn't going to come on them, they don't have to get in the covenant. Well, then I'll tell you what, then the Bible's been teaching us lies and, you know, there's a special. We have this whole thing and we don't realize. We need to wake up. Because those kind of believing minimizes your faith. Mm-hmm. There's these special people that they got more. These special people. No, they don't. They need Jesus just as much as I needed Jesus. Amen. They're on their way to hell just as much as I was on my way to hell. That's right. Who cares how blessed they get if they don't accept Jesus and end up all lost? Dear God, what a blessing. There's not been good spiritual reasoning that we believe things that we believe and they were taught. Now, I'm not criticizing those people. They walked day off. You know why? Because for years and years before they came along teaching it, people were teaching it. And everybody just bought it down the line. We just bought it, swallowed it. Scriptures, you know, not following. We need to understand this, that the Jews have suffered terribly, but it's caused a rejection of Christ. They think the devil don't want them to come to that knowledge. He sure don't want them to come to that knowledge. But we need to understand, I know over the years I found this out, there's a lot of the standpoint of the curse on Jews is from the standpoint of among their own people who accept Jesus Christ. Now over the years I've talked to different Jews and stuff, when they came to Christ, how they were treated by the other Jews. Will you come to Christ? I had a couple of people tell me this. They said they could have joined any other kind of religion and they wouldn't have said a thing to them. But because they accepted Christ, that is the most evil thing that you can do to them. I had more than one Jew tell me that. When they accepted Christ, they said they were involved in other stuff. Nobody said a thing about it. But they came to Christ. That was it. Well, see, number one, you don't bless the church, you're going to get cursed. It's funny, nobody ever read that one. See, we say things and we don't realize. See, I want the Jew to come to the knowledge of the truth, or I mean, tell the open door for the devil to destroy him. You know, they're over there, they're flying our jets, they're using our rocket systems to protect themselves. We're blessing them. We're blessing them. And I, you know what, I'm glad we are. I'm not against them whatsoever. But I want to tell you what, there's got to be a divine line of what's going on spiritually. Because if it don't, it minimizes us, the Christian. We got to know where we stand. We're the people with the covenant. We're in the place and walking in the covenant of deliverance. They are not. If you went to Israel today, the majority of Jews in Israel don't even believe in the old covenant. They don't follow it. You know, everybody, the Christians all go through the things over there. That's just, you know, we go over there, it's a tourist marketing for them. That's what it is. They don't believe in that stuff. You go over there and you get guides and they take you around and show you places. Most of the guides, they'll tell you all about Jesus and all this stuff, but that ain't what they believe. That guy can tell you all about Jesus. He's going to be worse off than anybody if he dies because he's going to be judged of what he knew and didn't accept. I'm going to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's going to raise up 144,000 Jewish evangelists. Thank God. I'll guarantee you, I'm just going to tell you this is the truth. And I know this is the truth. They'll be persecuted a bunch too. They'll be persecuted. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a bunch of Jews going to accept it. Hallelujah. They're going to receive it. But I'll tell you what, there's ones that won't. They're not going to receive it. So, praise God. You don't want to walk in the knowledge of truth. If you sit down and read Romans, the 11th chapter, 1 through 12. Paul wrote in there about this. I'm going to read through. I'm going to read down through this because, you know, this is what Paul said concerning the Jews. See, Paul had a great heart for his people. He wanted them saved. Paul never put them in a place like they were higher or something matter. He never did that. Never did that. But Paul sure didn't put them down. Paul loved them. He loved his people. Verse 1 says, I say then, has God cast away his people? He said, certainly not. He said, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, they've torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. He said, and he goes on, listen, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant. Today, there is a remnant of Jews in the earth. Thank God, I am so glad of the Jews that have come to Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, those Jews and their love for Israel probably has more to do with keeping Israel going than anybody, this old covenant stuff. I'm just going to tell you this. You know, they're supposed to, you know, they say, well, the scripture tells they're going to build a temple over there. I guarantee you this. Christians are going to run like crazy to that temple to get over there and sacrifice and carrying on. I'll guarantee you. Why? Because of what they're taught. Yep. I'm going to tell you what. Them building a temple and going back to sacrifice is an open saying we reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Yep. You can't go back to animal sacrifice and it's going to glorify God. Well, now he says this, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, works is no longer work. In other words, the law was works. They're trying to tell you. This is the reason they're in is because of grace and not because of the law. The law can't bring you in. Now, the Jew would sure understand very much of what he's saying to them here. He said, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. David said, let their table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block. And a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. But I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentile, how much more to their fullness? See, we want them to come to Christ. We want the Jew to come to Christ. But you need to understand this. It says God's blinded them. Now you might sit and say, well, you know, why'd God do that, this and that? You need to understand this about the Word of God. Israel, for centuries, has carried God's covenant. They didn't hear the Word. Can you imagine? The Messiah came and walked among them and they rejected him. Do you know, God comes along, and sometimes it don't seem to us, well, man, they've been blinded for a time. Say, does that seem just? See, people say, well, look at all that's happened to them because of this. And what is that really fair? Is that, you can't look at that. God, in His wisdom, does things, and they are always right whether you understand it or not. Amen. This is why the church world today is full of devil doctrines. Because we think we're wiser than God. We love more. The Lord told me years back, talked about many things going on in the church world and the church not dealing with Him and over-dealing with in 2 Corinthians and the guy that was in immorality. He said this, the Lord spoke these words to me. I'm not talking about it. I heard these words said. He said, the church thinks that they love more than I do. He said, because they turn around, they don't deal with these people. They're loving them. You see, God, in His wisdom, you want to see, God understands the future. He sees what you don't see. He makes decisions based off of what we don't even know or have a clue about. Amen. And if He makes a decision, He's right. You know, it's just like the Lord. The church is basically, the Spirit-filled people, you can call them following Brother Hagin. They've rejected the fact that God, there's nations that God has not, He's not going to give them a call anymore. From 1950. Really, 1950? Said America's having its last call. Spirit-filled people here don't believe that. Why? It's just, no, God's just going to do it. Of course, we're going to ask it. He's just going to do stuff. He's just going to do things. You know, some nations have had their last call. They'll never get another one. See, well, why would God do that? Because He's smarter than Ed. He didn't come and ask Ed's opinion if this thing was going to work or not. He's called me to trust Him. That He's right. If you have to know and figure out everything to trust God, you're going nowhere. Faith is based on the fact He's right. I trust Him with my life. I don't trust Him because I understand everything. Amen. I know this about Him. He a lot smarter than it. Amen. He knew how to save this jerk. I sure didn't. In all my wisdom, I didn't know how to deliver me from the power of darkness. I know how to do that. He did. What He did. You sit down and look. Does it make sense? Why is it is when Jesus was sent, He said, you know, He was sent at the right time. Why was that the right time? I don't know, but God said it was. So, you know what? Must have been the right time. God said so. Now, people will turn around and come up with their opinions and ideas. And I just want to say concern of them. You know, it's like opinions. And everybody got one, so it don't matter. It don't matter at all. God did it out of wisdom. And God did it out of righteousness. And God did it out of holiness. We try to figure it out by thought. Why God does what He does. Why does He do what He does? Why does He? Thank God He does what He does. Amen. There's things that He couldn't consult me with. How could I talk on His level on things that I don't know? How could I make wise decisions? Now, you can come to place and make wise decisions. I've had a thing and I'm praying about a certain individual thing going along with it. And I had one time, first time I had it happen to me, it really shocked me. Because the Lord spoke to me and says, well, what do you want to do about it? He said, you tell me what you want and I'll do it. And I thought, my God. And then I started having, here I've been praying, but I hadn't specifically thought out what ought to be done. I'm just saying, you know, God, you do it. And He throws it over me and says, okay, whatever you want it done, how you want it done. Well, I thought, gee, now I'm going to have to think about this. Because, you know, I'm just going to tell you this. Sometimes God did what you want, didn't turn out the best. You asked for it.
That's right. Yes.
See, and He put me in a place. Well, I started talking to Him about it. And He said to me, you have the wisdom to make it right. You know enough to make a right decision about this. Well, I sat down and thought about it. What ought to be, yeah, I said, you know, and I told the Lord what I want. Happened exactly, I mean, to the T, exactly like I asked Him. Just exactly to the T. You see this, you know, we don't take time, lots of time thinking about prayer. You know, we ask God to do this or do that. And many times we keep problems going for centuries. Mm-hmm. Why? Because when He first said that to me, I thought, whoa, hold it. I never thought about exactly. I thought, He'll just use His wisdom, you know? God's given you wisdom. You know, you become a place. Is that Rhema? One of the things that really helped me was one of our instructors there. And she said this to us. She talked about being a worker together with him. She said most Christians, she said they're little children going to God and sitting on his lap and stuff at the throne. That's the Christian life. He said, no, she said, you're supposed to be a worker together with him. You mature to the place you're working with him, not for him. With him. That's what God wants. Maturity brings you to the place where you're working together. That's maturity. That you work together with him. Hallelujah. Why? He wants you to come to the place he can trust you to do things. He don't have to stand over you all the time telling you because you ain't bright enough to figure nothing out. This is most of the church world. Most of the church world's prayer life is based on all they can't figure out. Instead of being able to look at things and say, this is what God would do in that sense. Do you know him well enough? There's things that I know about God. I don't have to pray 2 seconds. I know exactly what he'd do about it because of knowing his character and the way he does things.
Amen.
I know exactly. There's things I know exactly what he'd do. Now there's things I don't, you know, there's things we gain knowledge in and we learn over time. This is why if you stay a baby Christian, you're not going very far in anything. You're not going to be trusted with much. Well, you couldn't because you would not do with it. See, it's learning to do stuff. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I stumbled around, tripped and fallen, did all the kind of stuff and that stuff. I bawled and squalled and all that kind of stuff. You know, you do that as babies. Always fussing and fighting about things and always doing that. You know, that's a baby. That's what it is. You know, I found out, if you really take a lot, generally babies don't laugh a lot. I got the point. See, once I started growing the Lord, I could laugh a lot. I could look at my mistakes and I could laugh. I could look at my things and I can laugh. I can laugh, you know. I don't take me so seriously. I take God seriously, you know. Because I'm just a human down here. I got knowledge, but ain't nothing compared to his. It's nothing compared to what he knows. He's the all-wise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we go on here. He said, he wrote about these folks. He said, in verse 7, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks. Isn't that there? But the elect have obtained it, and the rest are blinded, just as is written. God has given a spirit of stupor. Their eyes. So their eyes, they can't see. Their eyes. Verse 9 says, and David said, let their table become a snare and a trap to them. Don't do that. Let their eyes be darkened. See, we read through those things, and I want you to get that. We lead a condition of people who are not saved. I thank God. I'm always so thankful of the Jews who have come to Christ, the ones who have come. You know, it's heartbreaking to think how many Jews are in hell. How many millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions? Now there's Gentiles off into hell. How many? And somehow the church, you know, they read the things, all Israel's going to be saved. You know, people say, that's all the Jews. Yeah, I'm the Jew. I'm one of those Jews that's going to be saved. All Israel. I'm Israel.
Amen.
See, church don't read the Bible. They make a confession about that nation that's false. And about those people, that's false. All Israel's going to be saved. That's me. I'm the faith. I'm the real Jew. You're the real Jew. Hallelujah. See, there's some people knock the Jews, you know, they knock them about their wealth and that stuff. They say those things. Well, if you're a real Jew, then get wealthy. Get some, you know. But see, God wants you to see what you are. And if you don't, it limits your faith and you will not go as far as he wants to take you. God ain't going to pour out his power on the babies. There needs to be a simple maturity come to the church again. Back to where and what we are. We're the ones with authority over Satan in the earth. We're the ones. He said, we cast out devils. That's what we do. I'll tell you, any people that can't cast out devils are going to have some real trouble. Christians who can't deal with devils have trouble in their own lives. Major problems in your own lives. You need to understand, you're under influence. There's influences of Satan everywhere. There are billions and billions of devils. There ain't 75 of them roaming around out here and just, you know, some people get... There are influences all the time. Many people, Christians, personality troubles are because of yielding to spirits. Well, I don't deal with that. Well, influence is spirits, and the spirits influence things that we're yielded to that we have no break authority over dealing with us. Christians have trouble in the area of comfort and joy and things because of spirits. Yielded to spirits. I ain't seen her possessed. They're yielded. That's where the devil goes around. You know, every situation. He wants to make you unhappy. He wants to make you, well, you turn around. Why? He don't want you to make good decisions. He wants you feeling bad, acting bad, doing bad. So why? You won't make any good decisions. You won't anything. And everything will run over you. And you need to know around you, there are spirits that are trying to do things to hamper you.
Amen.
You have trouble, and that's people have trouble with anger and stuff like that. Mostly spirit. They say, "Well, they had personality and that, do that." No, you're dealing with spirits. They drive you. I know about it, man. I'm gonna tell you what. I was possessed by one when I was a sinner. I was possessed. Man, I'll tell you, the reason, and the best thing you ever wanted to have me is drunk, because then I was at a stupor to that spirit. But when I was sober, I'd get, you know, they didn't make a man big enough I wouldn't take a swing at. When I was sober, I was mad at everything. Why is that spirit? See, the Bible tells you we're supposed to be slow to anger. I'm going to tell you, you can't yield to spirits and be slow to anger. You'd be quick to anger.
That's right.
And it makes you mad. You get... Believe me, I know. I know. And you know what? Those spirits just don't let you alone just because you got saved one day and they left. Because the Bible tells us what, they come back. They'll come back and try to trap you in the same thing all over again. They'll come back. You have to stop and say, "No, I ain't going to yield to that. Devil, you get out of here. I'm not going to yield to that thing."
Amen.
Whatever they might be. Whatever you were bound in as a sinner, those spirits will try to come back to you. Whatever you're bound in, see, you have to learn to deal with that. That doesn't mean you don't have any. You have to stand up against it. You got to do something. Don't pray and ask God to do it. It ain't going to happen. You have authority over Satan. This is where we deal with it. You see, just like praying this morning in here, I'm walking back and forth praying. I bind any spirits in operation over things, the people, so they can't hear. See, people get blinded. They can't hear certain things because of demons. There's certain things they can't hear. And let me say this. The Lord said to this man this morning to tell you this concerning praying in the Holy Ghost. You don't spend time praying in other tongues. There's places of faith you'll never walk. See, when Jude said we build ourselves on our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost, see, faith may come by hearing, but it is built through other things. One thing is doing the Word. The other, praying in the Holy Ghost gives you power in the inside. There's things of revelation you will never get from the Word till you spend time praying in tongues. You will never have. If people don't do it, they ain't going to have it. That's just the way it is. That's just, you know, if praying in the Holy Ghost caused me to build myself up in my whole holy faith, wouldn't I think that'd be a good thing to do? See, you can sit and read the Word all you want, but there's a lot of things you won't get. Why? Because your spirit. It's just like when I'm going over some of these things here, you know, I was going, this ain't speaking to you. I used to talk these things, you know, about Israel and that kind of stuff. But you know what? What happened was the whole time, for years, God's trying to tell me this, that ain't right. But you know what? I wasn't hearing it. I kept hearing it. Get over praying and get over further and a little bit more development, and all of a sudden, oh, I can see those scriptures. I can see them. See, people get so set in their ways. You know, I'm not here to preach to what you want to hear. I'm sorry, but that's most ministry today. They know what makes the money. They know what makes the money. I know what makes the blessing.
Amen.
God has to bring me money whether people do right or not.
Amen.
We know this. There's a lot of faithless ministers out there. They rely totally on the people. spend an hour taking an offering. Ain't no faith in that. God, the world don't even talk that long to get money. At least they'd pull a gun and rob you. You know, they'd be honest about it. That's good preaching, folks. I'd rather have them pull a gun. Got to talk you out of your money. Got to try to convince you God is going to bless you. I'm sorry. God ain't convinced you. I ain't got a chance. The word's true. Hallelujah. And I just want you to walk in light of God is a blesser. That's what He does. God's a blesser. I want you to get on the fact of who and what you are. You've been born again. You became circumcised your spirit because you walked in faith with Christ. You. See, you sit here today. You're a child of God. That's what you are. This is what God made you. There's nothing greater in this earth than God's people, the church. It's a phenomenal. You know, everybody, the church is out here trying to walk in love with Israel, trying to walk in love with this, trying to walk in love, and they don't walk in love with each other. The greatest thing we can do is love one another. Say, well, there's all these different beliefs. I don't care. They can preach that stuff. I still love them. I'm going to love them. You know, I ain't going to be against them. They're a child of God. They'll end up in heaven. You can believe all kind of crazy stuff, and you'll end up in heaven. You just have to get there and get your head cleared up a little bit. I just want to get it cleared up as much as I can on this side. I'd like to get it cleared up a little bit here. But see, it's one thing is the Lord is really concerned about some of these teachings because it diminishes the church. It diminishes. See, people don't see that stuff as diminishing, but it does. God loves this other group better. No, he don't love his church. Church is his. We belong to him. We're his children. Any Jew without Christ, they ain't his kid. They're not his. They don't belong to God. They're under a curse. You see, let me just say this to you. As you read it and meditate on it and go to work. Do you know, there's a difference between why the world is sick and the church's people get sick. It's different. It's not the same. The world is under a curse. The world gets sick because of the church. The church don't. The church has been redeemed from the curse. Amen. Then why are they sick? Well, there's numbers of different reasons. Lack of knowledge. The average Christian don't even know they're redeemed from the curse. The average church, they criticize healing and all that kind of stuff. They talk that thing. They aren't sick because they're under a curse. They're sick because of lack of knowledge. They can't walk. They're redeemed from the curse of the law and don't know it. There's other things, you know. People can get in disobedience to the word. It'll bring cause the devil to be able to attack them. See, there's different reasons and different things. One of the things I'm just going to tell you, walk in love. You know, don't hold things against other people. I don't care what they do to you. You stay in love no matter how they act. You know, sometimes that can be difficult around, but rather don't. For your own sake, for your own safety, don't let the devil get at you. Because that's what he's looking. He's like a roaring lion. He's looking for who he can eat. Don't you become the target of his eat. That's right. It says he's like a roaring. He ain't a lion. He's lying if he tells you all he is. He said he roars like a lion. He's got a big mouth, and his mouth has destroyed more people. They believe what he says.
Amen.
They keep following his roar. No, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Sit down. Everybody ought to do it this week. Sit down and read what the curse is. Any ugly thing that you could think of, not just sickness and disease, with poverty, with your family going off following the devil, anything you can think of is under the curse. Mm-hmm. It would change a whole lot the way the church thinks and goes after stuff and how they do. Glory to God. See, when I found out I was redeemed of the curse and all that kind of stuff, my family's going to heaven with me. My grandkids are going to heaven with me.
Amen.
I don't know what the rest of you are going to do or what about, but I don't give a rip how they act or what they do. They're going to heaven with it.
Amen.
I'm redeemed from pagan kids and pagan grandkids. I'm redeemed from that. Say, well, don't look like. I don't care what you look like. I don't walk by look like. Sinners do that.
Amen.
People don't know they're redeemed. I'm sorry, I'm redeemed. I ain't running around trying to save them. God does it. I walk and follow God and believe what's right.
Amen.
Ain't my job to try to get them all in. Hallelujah. They're going to follow Grandpa. Woo! Paul, Paul's taking them in.
Amen.
People got to get thinking right. But see, when you think you're lesser, you think the unsaved Jew got some special thing? And here you are following God, you got less? Man, I want this covenant. We got, the Bible says, let me tell you, we got a better covenant based on better promises. Hallelujah. I'm in the right covenant. I got the right God. I got the right Savior. Hallelujah. Glory. You do too. See, that will bring great joy to you. See, it'll take, see, we're in these last days and people are getting straying out and doing crazy things and doing all kind of stuff. But you know what? We should be the last people moved. The last group to be moved about any of this stuff. We're not moved. I'll tell you, this faith I have in Jesus, it's a working, it's working great for me. I am not moved. I don't go around and say, I don't stick my nose around in everything and what everybody else is doing. I don't try to find out everything else my kids or my grandkids are doing, get my nose into it and get into unbelief. I tell you what, I'm the guy of end results. I can tell you the end of it. See, stuff goes on. Everybody's just sticking it. We just love this sticking it. Knows everybody doing. That's what I like about this, a lot of this online stuff. You know more than you should have ever heard in your life. Don't tell me what they're doing. I'm walking in faith about them. Don't tell me what they're doing. I don't need to know. I'm trying to keep my nose in the book. I'm trying to listen to my heart. My heart's rejoicing and my flesh is, let me hear that ugly thing about him. Glory to God. See, we need to be very careful about this stuff. See, these things affect our faith. We don't understand. You know, I've all felt that Lord, you know, dealing with me about the fact of dealing with Israel when people think that they're special. And are unsaved and not following the covenant and they're special and how it minimizes us. Because the Bible don't go for them, you know. They have this special deal. They're under the law and the law's working great. Did the law ever work good for them? Show it to me. I want them to see where it worked good. I know David went by faith because he went by law. God had him put to death.
Yeah. That's right.
Thank God for faith. He was smart enough to walk by faith.
Amen. Yes.
See, we need to get these things right. A lot of Christians don't believe that the Jews end up lost. They don't believe it. A lot of Christians. I've had things said to me and that stuff, and sometimes I think, oh my God, where are people coming from? What are they believing? What are they doing? I mean, you think about it. We have in Scripture, Jesus talked about in His time. He talked about the rich man and Lazarus. You know, the rich man was a Jew. He's talking to Jews. He wasn't talking to the world. He wasn't talking to Gentiles. The rich man's a Jew. Where'd he end up? Even under the law, this man ain't living by faith and walking by faith. He's a Jew. He's probably circumcised. That's the legal part of it. But he ended up in hell. And he got down to hell and said, my brothers are going to hell too. Somebody go back and tell them. And Abraham said, they have the law and the prophets. They got the word. Just like you had the word. Jews with the word end up in hell. Man, that just stumped a lot of Christians. See, they think he's talking about some heathen Gentiles treating this poor Jewish guy bad. It ought to shake some people upset of Christians. It ought to shake them up. You can walk around and call yourself whatever you want. Faith's what makes a difference. It's faith. We don't become something because we come in the door. You're not a Christian because you come here. You ain't a Christian because you listen to my teaching. You ain't a Christian. You have to respond in faith to Christ. And when you've done that, praise God, you're in the right group now.
Amen.
You're in the family of God. You're in the universal church. That's the church, not some group, not some other. You're in the church. And anybody who's born again is in the church. We like to divide them up in groups, you know, according to our beliefs, and say, yeah, we're believing the Bible. Ain't none of us know enough to believe. That's why we divide up groups, because, well, I got as much as I want to know, and this is going to be it for us right here. We're just going to do this. We're just going to stick with this thing here. This little part I know, that's what we're staying with. Okay? So we're going to start our group, you know. We believe it. We believe this is this way or that way. I'll tell you what, it's really from a standpoint, dealing with people, whether in other groups. There's other groups of Christians that I know they're not spiritual, but there's some wonderful stuff that I've learned from different people out of here, revelations they have that I think over, man, the spirit people need to learn some of this stuff. They need to get there. There's one thing, as I'll tell you this, it's like if we go along with a lot of the plain groups, they know more about raising kids than the so-called faith people do. They're much better at raising kids. And people say, oh boy, you know, they're religious, they wear coverings, they wear black clothes, and they raise good kids. I want the revelation. See, I was born among the plain people. And you know why? One of the things is, I will tell you this. I was raised with parents that were pretty separated from the world. And that had a great effect on me. That was very helpful. You see, we don't realize. We look at them as being religious. They got a lot of religious stuff. But you know what? They did have a lot of separation from the world standpoint and stuff. You know, there's ways they would never talk or ever say or ever do. Would never. They'd never do it. They had things, you know, that they did religiously that they believed, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know, you had to wear certain types of clothing and, you know, women couldn't wear makeup. And I remember Kenneth Hagin had left when he said, I ain't against women wearing makeup. He said, an old barn could use some new paint. So, I thought, boy, well, I'll tell you, women will love that one. Yeah, I called my wife an old barn, I better duck. Vaughn and I had to talk about that. They were going somewhere. She said, I'm going to put makeup on. She said, about going. I said, well, I ain't going with you. I don't care. So you go the way you want. I said, no, we're coming, driving back up through. I said, you know, women, men must be a lot better looking than women. I said, we don't have to wear makeup and you do. So I said, we must be a lot better looking. Well, she said, well, I don't think it's because of that. Well, I said, well, then what is it? Nah, you just got used to us guys looking bad. You know? We are what we are. That's it. Hallelujah. But they had their beliefs and their ideas, and so their religion. But there's a lot of good things that they had. My parents, they taught wonderful work ethic. They don't do that in the church world. You go to churches, they don't teach it. They teach today, well, you know, whether you go to work or not, we're going to take care of you. They teach terrible, terrible stuff that they do. We have no expectation that people will do things. We don't know how to look somebody in the eye and say, no. No. That's demonic spirit we call love. People are yielded to it. It's a demonic spirit. It has a love that is different than the Bible. What did you hear preaching in the church? You know, if you don't work, you don't eat. That ain't preached. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't fit our culture, you know. Because there's one thing, you know. Right now, I'll never forget this. Reading a book minister put out he's an evangelist, travels Africa, all over the place. He went with many years ago back here. He said, I go in the field. He said, I preach, hold evangelist. He does all the time. And he said, a lot of the missionaries anymore, he said, they don't preach the gospel. All they do is feed people. He said, why? Because he said, the Americans will not give money to preach the gospel. They'll give it to feed people. So he said they changed their ministry because he said you can give money. Just send him a picture of a starving kid. Tell him, you know, you need money. For, oh, yeah, we're helping, you know. Put a starving puppy. We'll send you a lot of money. The church is led by emotions and not by the Spirit. Salvation ain't on the top of the list for the majority of the church, even Spirit-filled people. We always have to be doing something like, it's not changing lives. I mean, God changes lives.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come, you know. It's like Brother Hagin said, you know, Jesus didn't come. He didn't have a ministry of hamburgers and hot dogs trying to get people. He said, preach the gospel. We don't do that anymore. You got to give them something. You got to give them something physically to get them to listen. We don't have, you know, Jesus, he fed them after they came.
That's right.
Boy, they don't do that today. No, we got to feed them. We've trained them. We'll feed you to get you here. Until it's all over, their bellies are full and they ain't listening to nothing. They don't hear a thing. I know. I sit down. If I eat a big meal, you know what happens if I go sit down? Sawing logs. I see, I got to get up and move around. Keep my. I don't know what it says. People say, I can't sleep at night. Well, eat something. You'll go to sleep.
Amen.
But see, we're doing in our gospel. See, if you follow after Jesus and doing things, and people say, you know, I believe in Jesus, but do you believe what he did? We don't even know what he did.
Right.
And so, it's walking in light. This one thing is, I'll just tell him, man, I need revelation from the Word. There's a lot I need to understand. There's a lot. I sit down and think, you know, I got to judge what I believe. I do. I got to judge what I believe. We have had good people. I just had good people tell us stuff. You know, Brother Randy was teaching down there some things and got over there and he said, you know, about what Brother Hagin believed on different things. But you know what Brother Hagin believed was wrong. You can't take it because some guy says something. There's things he was wrong with about it that he believed. Why? He's a man.
That's right.
I don't think less of him because of it. My words, I don't know everything, do you? Why would you think wrong of somebody? But don't ever think because somebody you know is a big name minister, got a big following, you just swallow everything he says. Well, you can't do that. All of us missed it. When I look back at some of the things that I taught when I first started on the teaching now, I think, my words, what a big baby. How little I knew. Well, what about you? See, you go along and you learn. See, nobody knows everything. Nobody knows, you know. I think of all the years that some people, just to learn to get certain revelations from the Scriptures, of the years it took and spent. How, you know, up until the time that Kenneth Hagin got the revelation of man, spirit, soul, and body, up till that time that he got that revelation wasn't even in the church. He talked to all the head leaders and all that stuff. He even went to Billy Graham and asked him. He asked all of them about, they didn't know. They thought the spirit and the soul were the same thing. Nobody knew. Can you imagine? That God couldn't get that revelation across to the church. Yet there's things in Scripture we know now that help us to follow God, walk with God, that are phenomenal. But man, in all those years, couldn't get it. And I'll tell you why. It's the same problem that you and I have. We heard what somebody else has said, and we follow that. And in our heart, God's trying to open up something to us, but we think we know it. We got it. We don't have to listen to that. We know. I know. I got the answer. And I think about it, you know, Brother Hagin spent probably, really, till he really got it defined, probably spent almost 30 years. He said everybody he went to and all of them, he said nobody. Nobody knew. When I asked him, well, he said they had to be different, and he'd show them Scripture in the Bible, and they'd say, every time they'd say, I didn't know that was in there. If you'd ask every one of them, I'll read the Bible all the time. Well, I go through the Bible every year. Well, good luck. Just because you went through it don't mean you know a thing. I found this. I've read a lot. There's things I've read so many times in the Bible, and finally I'll get a revelation on it, and I stop and think, dear Lord, what was I doing when I was there before? My God. See, that thing was so darn simple, but I know this. There's things that wasn't in fact. The whole point that I didn't know, I was reading according to what I thought things were. That's what I was doing. When I finally sat down just and looked at words and said, my God, those words ain't even there. They're not even there. That's what Randy did this week and went over things that people say is in the Word. Found out they're saying it all the time. It ain't in the Word anywhere. But yet it's one of the most popular things taught in the church. Never said in Scripture. Somebody believed it somewhere and you got it and got it and you told and told and told and you stop and you think, oh my God. See, that's why you get off and repent. Say, Lord, boy, you know, we bought that one. We didn't pay any attention to what was said. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We'll take an offering today for our missions, but hallelujah. Praise God. One of the things is doing for yourself is in his doing. The Apostle Paul, especially the church at Ephesus, there's two prayers. There's a prayer in the first chapter and a prayer in the third chapter. Is take those prayers and pray them for yourself, you know? Put them in the first person. Don't just read there. He's praying for the church, but for yourself. For a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so you know what's the hope of your calling. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What do you got? You see, I realize that we turned around and thought the Jews had something better. And here we're praying for what the church got, and we're over there believing some other. See, we didn't realize how this thing's affected what God could reveal to us. It's your inheritance, hallelujah. Oh my God, what have you got? You want to bless the world? You want to bless the Jews? Find out what you got. Be a blessing, hallelujah. Be a blessing. Pray those for yourself, hallelujah. See, he said Jesus in heavenly places, far above all principality, might, and dominion. Above all. It means he's head over all things to the church, which is his body. See, he can't be the your head can't be something and your body's not.
Right.
You know? See, well, my head's going to lunch today and my body's going to go home and lay down and go to sleep. I'll probably say, you're crazy. Wow, the church is nuts. They've been nuts for years. They separate Jesus and the body. I'm sorry. What he is, I is.
That's
we're the body.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Far above all principality, power, might. If the head is above, the body's not. The head's above. Hallelujah. See, we want to walk in the revelation that you're above. Hallelujah. They used to always do that thing and say, the devil's under my feet, and you did write that on the bottom of your shoe. No, the Bible says he's far above. He's so far above, the devil can't read the bottom of my shoe. If I wrote on it, he couldn't see it. Because we're far above all his might, his dominion, all these demon spirits, all this. You are far above it. Don't let him lie to you. Say, well, you know, this is one thing is they used to do this to call these generational spirits, which ain't nothing but the devil's doctrine. There ain't no such thing as generational spirits. I was delivered. I was taken out of the kingdom of Satan. I don't have one generational. If I want to let them come back, I'm allowed to. If I'm not going to be stupid. But God delivered me. I am not in my natural generation. I'm not under the curse. That's what it was when I was under the curse. They followed things. But they can't. They don't follow us. People say, well, you have a generational. I don't have no generational spirit.
Amen.
The generation the devil left me when I got born again.
Amen.
Well, see, they do that today. Well, they come in and say, well, you're the doctor. First they'll say, well, you have this problem. Do you have a person in your family that has this problem? Say, I don't know if I do or not. I don't know. I'm not in the family of this earth. I'm sorry. I'll ask Jesus if he has that trouble. See, we're going to find out. What they do is then they'll get you to confess. They'll get you. See, this is in our family. This curse that goes along with the curse of the law is in my family. So now I'm going to tell you, yep, grandma had that problem. So it's allowed to come to me. So we don't think about none of this stuff. We just, because you know, the doctor's God, did for sure. And what he said. See, we buy the, hey, it don't matter what they had.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I got the DNA. I got the spiritual DNA. It's called God DNA. That's what I got.
Yeah.
I got God DNA, and God DNA don't have no curse in it.
That's right. Amen.
And my body, see, your mouth's going to determine how your body lines up. You control your whole body, the Bible says, James wrote, by your tongue. As James said, wonder if he lied. Yeah, my mama had a curse, so I'm going to buy that one, okay? I'm going to take that curse because, you know, it got passed on down. Yep, they had this problem, so, you know. So we're going to control your health by what they... In other words, if they had it, I'm going to have it. Boy, a lot of help. Why don't bother going to the doctor? Why should he get this money? All we do is find out what everybody else had. Say, I know what's going to go on in my life. I don't need to go to the doctor. I know what's going to go on. And that's what's actually going on. We're accepting all the past. You know, when you were a dirtbag sinner under the curse, and you're accepting what you were cursed with. Say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not under the curse.
Amen.
Hallelujah, I'm in the blessing.
Amen.
I'm in the church of Jesus Christ. I am in the blessed group. Hallelujah. Abraham would have loved to live in Ed's day. Abraham would have loved to have my day. Glory to God. We ain't worshiping Abraham. We worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. He delivered us from the power of darkness and put us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what our God did for us. Hallelujah. I'm in the kingdom of dear Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How do you like that? That's where you're at. Delivered from the power of darkness. Father, I just want to thank you, hallelujah, for the church of Jesus Christ. Lord God, Jesus is the deliverer, and we accept His deliverance today. We accept His glory as ours, hallelujah. That we're living in this earth, hallelujah, today, hallelujah. Satan cannot stand against the church of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we can cast him out anytime we like to, want to, need to, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for the glory that's in the church. I thank you, Father God, that these ones here today, they've called on the name of the Lord. They are saved, children of God, born of God, hallelujah, delivered from the curse, hallelujah, blessed coming in, blessed going out. They're the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that you've redeemed them from the curse, that sickness and disease is far from them, hallelujah. It's not theirs anymore, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the power of our words, hallelujah, that what we say will come to pass, that we believe in our heart. And Lord God, we want to know what your word says. We want the revelation of the word in us, that we can speak the word and walk in the glory that you have prepared for us, that is ours. Hallelujah. Father God, that we walk, Lord, if anything, Jesus, I want you to be delighted in my walk. I want you to be delighted. I want to walk the path that you made, that is such a wonderful, glorious path. Hallelujah. That your blessing flows through, Lord God. And Father, we sure do. Lord, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I want the Jews to be saved. I want Israel as a nation, Lord God. Lord, I know in these last days the things that have gone on. And Lord God, I see in the Word things are going to go through. But Lord God, my heart goes out to them. Lord God, that people have suffered and suffered and suffered. Hallelujah. Because of not having Jesus. But Lord, we're living in a world of the Gentiles. How much of the Gentiles are suffering and suffering and suffering in this world? Hallelujah. But just because of it, Lord God. Lord, we're dealing with wars today in the Middle East. And it's all because of religions that are outside Jesus Christ. And they just fight and war, and they're trying to settle all this out by man's wisdom and man's ways. And Lord God, we know what that's like. I lived a life like that. I lived that life personally. Hallelujah. I was warring all the time. I was doing. And Lord God, there's only one pace of peace. And that's the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, you brought us to that. And I thank you, Father, I thank you for your strength in the church, that you're going to give the church wisdom in these days, Lord God, to rise up. Lord, when you put Brother Hagin in the earth, you said it was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I know this for a fact. When the church is ready, the glory that will be poured out in this earth. The glory that will be poured out in this earth. Oh, that many, 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 and multitudes after multitudes of people. Lord God, I believe it will be just billions of people will come to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, many, you know, say, well, what God's going to do. And yes, the Lord's going to do it, but He's going to do it through His people. And that's what you, Lord God, Lord, we want to be vessels of honor. We don't want to be a wooden vessel. We want to be a vessel of gold. Hallelujah. We want to be the precious, that costly vessel, Lord God, that you can pour your glory into, hallelujah, to deliver mankind. And we just say thank you, hallelujah. And Lord Jesus, we're taking an offering this morning. And Lord God, we just want to thank you. I thank you for people that are doing wonderful things by taking your message, Lord God, to many, Lord, that, Lord, we don't see personally, but God, you've opened doors, hallelujah. Lord God, that we're able to help ones taking messages in, Lord God, whether it's Vietnam or it's going into Malaysia, Lord God, into Mexico, Lord God, the nations of the earth, the different ones, going to changing people's lives. And Father God, Lord, they don't have to twist our arms to want to help them. It's our great desire is to be a blessing to them. And we want to thank you, Lord God. We want them to have more than enough of what they need. Hallelujah. Father, we don't want them to just be getting by. Lord God, we want them to be able to go to people and they can show people how wonderful you are and how glorious you are concerning your people. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have given them an anointing and a voice, Lord God, that rings out. Lord God, a voice, hallelujah, that cripples the enemy, Satan's work, Lord God, and breaks the bondages from people. People in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, that many come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord God, I know, Lord God, and there are ones that are ministering to ministers. I thank you, Lord God, the truth is going out through them, Lord God. Hallelujah. That they can set their congregations free. And Lord God, that the message goes out from there and is a blessing to whatever communities and the nations that they're in. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a blessing. Because, Lord God, we know that it's to know the truth will make you free. And Lord God, the freedom comes from the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. And we just want to say thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to give. And we do it cheerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated and we'll have our ushers come.